Well, one of these days I'm going to get right with God. One of these days I will humble myself and pray. One of these days I'll repent of my sin. One of these days never comes for many people. Because they kept saying one of these days, and in the appointed time in the season that they were getting given the authorization to come to God, they refused to listen to his voice. The Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with man. He gives us a window of opportunity. We're living right now in that season and that time, that window of opportunity to where we can be saved. The day is coming when the door of opportunity is going to close. Do you believe that? And so today is the day to wake up out of slumber and understand that our salvation is nearer, amen, than when we first believed. That Jesus Christ is going to return. And he's coming for those who are looking for him. This is not a time to be asleep. This is not a time to be playing church. This is a time to draw near to God. If my people, we want America changed, it begins with us. Don't expect Washington to fix the problem. God will use people in Washington, but it's going to begin with the church. When the church is revived, then reformation will come to the nation. My heart is, Lord, revive us. I love his presence. I love being together with you. We have great times. Amen. But the Lord wants us awake. He wants every one of us awake. We must be revived. Brought back to life in God. Return to life in God. Return to normal. Really return to obedience. All right, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be here, Lord, that you've given life and breath to us, the ability to get up out of bed today and be here to be together. Lord, thank you for giving us a family, Lord, a people, Lord, where we can come, we can gather, we can be together in your name, Lord. We thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will lead us into all truth. And Lord, we know that without you, we cannot understand. We cannot know God. We cannot know your heart. And so we pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit today that you will unveil our eyes, Lord. That you'll help us to see, and Lord, that you'll help me also, Lord, to speak what you are speaking, Lord. Give me ears to hear what you are saying today. Grant me utterance to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of the message today is Overcoming in Perilous Times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous means times of great stress and trouble. Times that will be hard to deal with and hard to bear. If there was ever a time when we need to be drawing near to God, it's now. The Lord has warned us ahead of time that there are going to be perilous times. There are going to be troublesome times. Amen. And we're certainly in the beginning of that. All right. And so we need to really draw near to God now. And we need to be awake, and we need to be watchful. You know, it's very important that we are spiritually awake, that we are discerning of the times. Amen. We cannot see clearly what is really happening except that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us what is happening below the surface. It's easy to judge things by appearance or things from the surface, amen? But in order to know what's really going on, even to be able to understand the motivations sometimes of people, we need the Holy Spirit to give us the ability to discern, to be able to judge correctly between what is true and what is false, what is of God and what is not of God. How many would agree with me there is much deception today? There are many voices today, even in Christendom. Amen. And in prophetic things that are happening everywhere. And this person says it's the end. This person says it's the beginning. You know, it's like, how do we know what is true? Well, we have a sure word of prophecy right here. Amen. And God gives us his Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, amen, he will unveil the written word so that we will come to know the living word, who is Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit always points us to Jesus. Amen. He does not glorify himself and he does not glorify the vessel, but he points us to the Lord. Amen. So that's how you know if somebody's speaking by the Spirit of God, they're giving glory, they're giving praise to Jesus, first of all. Amen. And what they're speaking is always in agreement with what is written. Amen. Just as Jesus dealt with the devil by what is written. Amen. So today we do the same thing. We are living in a time when we are going to have to. We're going to have to trust God. Oh, you may not think that now, but we're living in a time when you and I are going to have to trust the Lord. How many know that revival comes when people are in a place where they have to trust God? Where people know they have a need of God. Amen. They need God's help. Amen. How many know that revivals usually don't show up in times when everything is going well and going smoothly? Amen. Because people are prone to go to sleep in good times and disconnect from the Lord and think that I don't need God like I used to. Oh, God has provided for my need now. I don't need to pray like I used to. Life has gotten easier, so I don't need to pray like I used to. But if we want to be revived, amen, we're going to have to come to a place where we understand in our hearts that we cannot be and cannot do what God has called us to do and what he's called us to be, except by the Spirit of God who would empower us to be that witness for him. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we're living in a time when we're going to have to trust the Lord. But that is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's good. As a matter of fact, Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I know that I have a need of God, amen, then I can be strong in the Lord. So Christ would be revealed through us because we're in harmony with him. We can't light anybody else up if we're not lit, right? Those who overcome in these times are those who realize that apart from God's presence, there is no real victory over the evil. There are people who are caught up in the evil who think they're doing well. And they're not even aware of it because they're blind through sin. They're blind through compromise. They're actually captured by Satan himself, but not aware of it. Because a person who is asleep is not aware they're asleep. Talked about that last week. God wants us awake. When you're asleep, you're not aware of it. Others are. And that's why we need each other. Amen? We need to bring an awareness. If a brother or sister is asleep, amen, we need to be praying for that person. We need to be with the Lord so that if he tells us to go and speak to that brother or that sister, amen, we're going to be a willing vessel to speak to them. Because how many know that it's very important that we hold each other accountable? Do you love your brother? Do you love your sister? If you see your child playing out in traffic, are you going to go and get them? Yeah. You know, when lives are changed, when the sick are healed, those bound by devils are freed, when marriages and families are restored, when the gospel is preached by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, then we're experiencing the presence of the Lord. Somebody say amen. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, but the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. God will liberate you from the oppressor. God will liberate you from bondage. Amen. God will liberate you from the power of sin. You cannot set yourself free. You cannot liberate yourself. You cannot even really effectively wake yourself up It's the Spirit of God that wakes us up to realize that I've been asleep. I didn't even know I was asleep until the Lord revealed it to me. Until somebody came and spoke the Word of God to me, and all of a sudden the light came on and I realized I'd been asleep all this time. Like the old song by Keith Green says, like waking up from the longest dream, how real it seemed till your love broke through. When the Holy Spirit is Lord in our lives, there is deliverance and there's freedom. It is by the presence of the Lord that our spiritual enemies are defeated. Wherever the presence of the Lord is, the environment will be radically changed. It'll be influenced. That's why we must be people of praise. Amen? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalms 22:3. But you are holy, enthroned. It means seated in the praises of Israel. Amen. And we call that lifting up the Lord. Amen. We're lifting him high. And it's really for our benefit that we understand that God is much bigger and much stronger and much more powerful, much more wiser than we are. Amen. He's all powerful, all knowing, and he's omnipresent. He's the almighty God. Amen. And when we praise him, we're actually aligning our thoughts, amen, and our words with who he is. Hallelujah. And it changes our perspective. So now we're seeing things from God's perspective rather than the earthly perspective. When we lift up our eyes, amen, and we look to him, we know where our help comes from. Amen. After the death of Moses, God commanded Joshua to go in and possess the land in which he had promised the children of Israel. So God gave Joshua this command in Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? He didn't say, have I not suggested to you? Strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I love that. That brings me confidence, doesn't it? When I know I can, I know he can. God commands his church today to be courageous. Why? Because he's with us. You believe God is with you today? Because God said he would be with Joshua. He said no man would be able to stand against him. In verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. In other words, I will not fail you or abandon you. This is what we need to know, is that God is with us. God is for us. That his grace is sufficient for us. Amen. That God is the one who is leading us. Amen. And he will lead us to our destiny. But we must follow. We must obey. Do you know revival is really about returning to obedience? Amen. If we will obey God, he will pour out his spirit upon us and make his words known to us. We can't know the word except that the word is revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And he gives his grace to the humble. Excuse me. And so all we need to stand in these days, guys, is simple faith. Simple faith in God. Keep it simple. I didn't say any more than that. Just said, keep it simple. Because we can convolute things. We can make things difficult. See, children can walk in victory because God has made it simple for us. Trust me. I'll be with you. Call on me. I will give you wisdom. I will direct your path. I will even show you things to come. Amen. Simple, childlike faith gives us the ability to overcome the world. Because God honors faith. God honors those who honor him. And those who honor him are those who believe him. Those who believe him obey him. I'm going to say that again. Those who believe him obey him. God told Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. In other words, because of God's presence and because of his promise, Joshua would be able to move forward in the will of God. Joshua would be able to live on the offensive rather than the defensive. Too many Christians live their lives in the defensive, constantly beaten back. Are you hearing me? The enemy's coming after them, and all they're doing is putting up their shield, amen, all the time. And but they're never coming to a place where they realize that they don't have to tolerate that. But God has given them something in their hand that they can use and wield. Amen. It's called the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so God was telling Joshua, I want you to be of good courage. I'm with you. Amen. Take courage of the fact that I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to give you everything you need. Amen. To come into the promise that I have set before you and defeat your enemies and possess that land. Why? Because if God promises something, he's going to do it. It was because of God's presence Joshua could live in the offensive, not the defensive. We have a shield of faith for those fiery darts, amen? But it's the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, that we use to overcome the enemy and extinguish all of his lies. Because the biggest problem we have, guys, is not knowing what is true. If you don't know the truth, you can't be free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you or make you free. And so this is the problem. You cannot defeat the lies of the enemy if you don't know what is true. If you don't know the word of God, then you don't have your sword, amen, available to use. That's why David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He knew that the light that of his life was God's word, his truth, amen. And so the Holy Spirit always moves in agreement with the word of God. People are getting revelations today that contradict the word of God. They're not from the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of spiritual people today, but we have to ask the question, what spirit are you of? What kind of Jesus are you serving? What spirit have you received? What kind of doctrine or gospel are you preaching? Is it the Jesus of the Bible or a Jesus of your own fashioning? The one you created in your own imagination, the one that fits and suits you. How many know you got to know the real Jesus and have the true freedom that comes, amen, from him? John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, this is the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. John 8:31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, here it is, and the truth shall make you free. What did Jesus come for? He came to give liberty, didn't he, to those who were enslaved to the devil. God wants to set people free. Amen. Restore them to his freedom. And so the truth releases those who are captive in their minds to sin. The truth breaks off every chain of sin, of selfishness, and of Satan. We need the truth because the apostles humbled themselves and obeyed the Lord's instruction. The Holy Spirit, his presence remained with them. Why could the apostles be as effective as they were? Because they obeyed the instruction of the Lord, and therefore the Holy Spirit remained with them. How many know the Holy Spirit will not move according to your will? I know I've tried to make him made that happen before, right? No, he moves according to God's will, and God's word is God's will. And In Acts 5 and 32, they said, "We are witnesses to these things. So also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to who? To those who obey him." So God doesn't give his Holy Spirit to just anyone. I'm going to say it again. God doesn't give the Holy Spirit to just anyone. But he gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him. There are people who are living in rebellion and they're pursuing spiritual things and they're getting spiritual all right, but they're not getting the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will always move in agreement with the Word of God. Amen? He's not, okay, operating independent of the Lord. They are one. Amen? So we have to understand that if you are pursuing spirituality, amen, but you're not pursuing, amen, obedience to the Word of God, then you may get a spirit, you may get a doctrine, you may get a different Jesus altogether, because God's not going to bless a mess. God's going to take us first to a place, amen, where we are repentant and we are humbled and we acknowledge that I don't know, Lord, like I should, but I want you to teach me. I want to know you. Amen. I want to know the truth. Because I don't want to be bound anymore by fear. I don't want to be bound anymore by sin. I don't want to be bound anymore by Satan. Amen. I want to be completely free from that dude. And I know that it's only the truth that's going to make me free. Amen. And keep me free from the attacks of the enemy and the lies that he will use to get into my head. Amen. And to torment me because I lack the truth, because I don't know what is true. The devil will easily deceive a person who has shut themselves off from the revelation of God. People remain in blindness if they're not open to the truth. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." My sheep what? Hear my voice, and I know them. Why? They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Francis Frangipani said this, "For wherever there is a willful disobedience to the Word of God, there is spiritual darkness and the potential for demonic activity." Wherever there is willful disobedience to the Word of God, there is spiritual darkness and the potential for demonic activity. How true that is. I mean, you know that God will give his grace to the humble. Amen. Proverbs 3:34, "Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble." And John 9:39, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Huh. How many remember when you read that the first time? That those who see may be made blind. What did he mean by that? Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Verse 41, Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin." Interesting. "But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." This passage teaches us that pride and self-confidence are the sources of condemnation. Pride, self-confidence. People who trust in themselves to be righteous, to trust in themselves to be truly wise, who don't believe that they really need the revelation of God because they've got it figured out on their own. "Besides, I went to seminary." If people are condemned, listen, they will be the ones to blame, not God. The Pharisees would not humble themselves and acknowledge their blindness. They were blind to a lot of the things that Jesus was speaking of. Amen? And they would not acknowledge that they didn't know. Why? Because of their pride. Because they loved the praises of men. They were more concerned about what people thought about them. And so in their pride, they would not humble themselves and say, "Lord, teach us. We don't know. We want to know. We want to learn. We want to grow." Jesus said, "Unless you come as a child, you're not going to enter the kingdom." A child is open and receptive and asking the questions. How many remember when your kids were little? Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? Right? About that two-year-old time, right? And that's how it is when you're a babe in the Lord. Amen. You're inquiring. You're asking. You're wanting to grow. You're wanting to learn. When you're truly born again, you will have a hunger for the Word, for the milk of God's Word. Amen. If you're not hungry for the Word of God, it means that you're not feeling well. It means that you're not healthy. If a child's sick, he loses his appetite, amen, because he's not healthy. And maybe he's full of candy and other things that are not good for him. Moving right along. Jesus told them, therefore your sin remains. He says you're guilty and your sin is unpardoned. Why? Because they would not humble themselves. Christians can do the same thing. God wants to bring a greater revelation to us. But if we don't humble ourselves and acknowledge that we don't know it all. There's a lot of people, you know, they get pride, prideful. Amen. They think they've reached a certain level of spirituality and they don't need anymore. They don't need the Word anymore. Oh, I already know that. I don't need to be in church. I'm strong enough. I don't need to be God's people. I'm strong enough. I don't need to pray like I used to. I'm strong enough. I don't need to be in the Word like I used to because I'm strong enough. How many know that's a deception of the enemy? It's really a sign that you're weak and that you're strong in yourself. Because when you're strong in yourself, you are prideful. And when you're prideful, you will not acknowledge that you need, amen, what God has to give you as your daily bread. The only thing that can sustain you, amen, is the Word of God. And the Lord wants to speak to us. The Lord wants to impart life to us. Jesus said, these words I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, John 6:63, and they are life, right? He said, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. It's God's Spirit that destroys the work of Satan in our lives. And the Holy Spirit moves in agreement with the Word of God. Now, let me just kind of put this together because we need the Spirit and the Word working together. Would you agree? Because you have some people that are very spiritual and they're seeking things of God. Amen. But they ignore the Word of God. That's an extreme. And on the other extreme, you have people that are constantly studying and learning and studying and learning. Amen. But they don't ever come to the encounter with God or the reality, their substance, which is Christ. Are you hearing me? And so the living Word, amen, can only be revealed to us by the Spirit who will take the written Word, amen, and reveal Christ to us through that. So if you're either side, amen, you're out of balance. You got some people who are theologically correct, amen, but spiritually dead. Hello? And you have some people that are very spiritual, but they're off into error because they don't know the truth. They don't have the boundaries, amen, of God's Word. Someone said one time, it's like the banks of a river, amen. The Word of God will keep, amen, things flowing in the right direction. We want to move in the Holy Ghost, amen. We want to move in the Spirit of God, but we need to do so in agreement with the truth because the Holy Spirit is always in agreement with the Word of God, amen. He does not do things outside of the will of God. That's witchcraft. It's the Spirit of God or the anointing who heals the sick, delivers captive souls, breaks addictions, gives sight to the blind. And by the way, it's not personal talent. Or charisma, right? Or human cleverness, or psychology that liberates people. Well, they'll take your money week after week after week, month after month, year after year. But God wants to heal. God wants to set the captives free. God wants to drive the devil out of people, amen? He wants every one of us totally set free and liberated by everything that has to do with the devil, hallelujah. And so the truth comes in, amen? The light comes in and exposes the darkness. You know, the devil hides in the darkness. That's why we want the truth. When you know the truth, you'll be set free from the darkness, from the devil who operates in that place where we're blind. So we have to come to God and say, Lord, I'm blind. I can't see. Open my eyes. Anoint my eyes with eye salve, if you will, so I can see spiritually. Amen. So I can understand. Amen. And know you. Hallelujah. Why is it we have so many different denominations today? So many different persuasions and people that sit around a table and argue doctrine. And how many know that the Holy Spirit is not divided? There's not just a truth that's convenient for you and a truth that's convenient for me. That's the world. There's not a Jesus for me and a Jesus for you. The Jesus I choose is like this. Maybe your Jesus is like that. How many know we need to know the real Jesus to know the true freedom that comes, amen, through that relationship with God? You know, the five wise virgins had extra oil in their lamps because they were acquainted with the one who supplied the oil. Because they had a relationship with Jesus. They were intimate with God in the Spirit. And so they were wise because they had a relationship with Jesus. Amen. They were all virgins, probably all morally pure, but only five of the ten had oil in their lamps. And only the five that had the oil in their lamps were ready to go into the bridal chamber. Amen. When the time came for the bridegroom to return, and she alone could go in, right, to the chamber, to the marital chamber. And then the door was shut. And it was too late for those who had only been in association with others who had oil. Do you understand? Today you have people that run around looking for somebody to give them the oil. Lay your hands on me. Give me some oil. How many know that we need to be pointing to the one who provides the oil? Amen. That's the Lord who provides the Holy Spirit. The oil is the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything without him. The flesh profits nothing. Overcomers are those who realize that apart from God's presence, there's no real victory over the enemy. Remember in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant was representative, what, of the presence of God? Amen. And this was an acacia wood box with, it was overlaid with gold, which really speaks of divinity. Gold speaks of divinity, and acacia wood of humanity. Amen. Human beings that would be right clothed in Christ, who is our righteousness. Amen. Divinity. Amen. And contained within that box were what, the tablets. Amen. The law. Amen. And Aaron's bud, that budded, right? His rod that budded, that speaks of resurrection, of new life. Amen. Jesus is also the bread. Amen. The manna was there. Hallelujah. He's the bread of life. Amen. But this ark represented God's divine presence on earth. It was a symbol. It was a type of the reality who was Christ. Amen. And so wherever this ark went, amen, the enemies of God would be subdued. Or displaced. It was by the presence of the Lord that the enemies of God were defeated. It wasn't because they shouted loud enough or rebuked hard enough. How many know that what we need is the presence of the Lord? We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does the work. The Holy Spirit does the cleansing. The Holy Spirit does the delivering. Amen. And so we need to be acquainted with the Holy Spirit, and we need to be yielding to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will always move in agreement with the will of God, always move in agreement with the Word of God. So wherever the ark of God went, the environment was radically influenced. If you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be radically influenced by the Holy Spirit. And wherever we go, amen, that environment will be radically influenced if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because it's not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. God wants us to know that without his presence, our enemies will not scatter. Without the Holy Spirit, your enemies are going to continue to pick on you, to torment you. And you're not going to have the Holy Spirit until you humble yourself and repent and get in position, amen, so that God can cleanse you, amen, because you're being honest with God and saying, God, I don't know. God, I am a mess. God, I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to cleanse me, amen. And Lord, I'm asking you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Because the Lord will give his Spirit to those who obey him. If you're living in rebellion to God and you're coming to God and say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit, he's not going to fill you until you get into compliance with his word. Somebody say amen. Until we get into obedience. Do we want more of God? We say, Lord, give me more, give me more. You know what he says to us? Give me more of you and I'll give you more of me. Problem is we're holding back. We're just giving God a little bit. Well, you can have this, but you can't have that. God wants all of us. Amen. Every part of us. He wants us to be surrendered to him. Amen. And be completely honest with him. And don't be like the Pharisee who thinks that you got enough of God and that you're smart enough and you know enough theology. Amen. That you're good to go, because that's a deception. As a matter of fact, knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. You see, sometimes, like the Pharisees, because they knew the law and the prophets, amen, they were proud of what they knew. And because of that, they were not in position to receive what they really needed, and that is the Lord. And because of that arrogance and that pride, God just bypassed them. How many know God will resist the proud? And once again, God's not going to give his Holy Spirit to just anybody. How many here want the Holy Spirit in your life? Amen. Well, you know how you're going to get the Holy Spirit in your life? Start obeying the presence of God. Start obeying the word of God. Start getting to apply. Amen. And in alignment with what God wants you to do. When God is convicting you about a sin, deal with it right away. Amen. If God's convicting you about something, don't put it off. Deal with it right away. Take it to God. Amen. Ask him to forgive you. Amen. Renounce it in Jesus' name. Amen. So that you can be in a position to receive God's Holy Spirit. God doesn't want double-minded Christians. He wants people that are single-minded, amen, that are sold out for him, that are completely surrendered, that are yielded to him, that are in compliance to his will. And if you would humble yourself and obey the word or the instruction of the Holy Spirit, amen, then God will fill you. Deuteronomy 9:1, hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourselves. Cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the descendants of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak? Therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you. As a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you. Then he says, so you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. Do you see what's happening there? God is saying, listen, he's promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. He's promised you complete spiritual freedom. Amen. But you have to, first of all, come to faith and know that God is the one who will be with you. Amen? Wherever you go. And if you obey the instruction of the Lord and you go over, amen, God's going to go ahead of you and he's going to destroy and defeat every one of your enemies. As you step on the offensive, amen, God is going to drive out the enemy before you. See, God is looking for those who will know who they are in Him, who will submit themselves to Him, who will have the confident assurance that comes because faith comes by hearing, obeying the Word of God. And as we obey the Word, the instruction of God, we will have supernatural confidence, amen, to be able to drive out our enemies and not be afraid. It doesn't matter how things appear. See, natural man looked at the giants. They were these huge people. And they're saying, well, this is impossible. Yes, naturally it is. There are many things in life that are impossible for us. But in God, nothing is impossible. For with God, all things, right, are possible. You have to know that God is with you. If you will submit yourself and obey His instruction, God will go before you. He will drive out your enemies, and then He will authorize you, amen, to clean up. Yeah. How many know that the devil should be afraid of a child of God? Amen. Because they know who they are in Christ, and who the Christ that's in them is greater than he that's in the world. Amen. He's not afraid of us, but he's afraid of the Lord that's within us. And in a person who's submitted to the Spirit of God has that authority, amen, to drive them out in Jesus' name. How many know that children can cast out demons if they're in right standing with God? They don't need to be afraid of the devil or the boogeyman. Guys, I suggest to you there are some of you here today that you're bound. You're bound by the devil. I'm going to say it. And you need deliverance. You need deliverance. God wants to set you free. But if you don't humble yourself, you're going to continue to walk bound in your life. And the enemy will continue to destroy you and torment you. God wants his people free. He doesn't want a single one of his people, amen, bound up by the devil. God wants us to take courage, to take up his word, and to be strong, and to listen to his voice. Because God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. And it's the Holy Spirit that will drive out your enemies. It's the Holy Spirit, amen, that will heal the sick, that will raise the dead, that will cast out demons. Amen. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Don't be like the Pharisee who's full of themselves, full of pride, and more concerned about what people think about them than what God does. Are you hearing me? There are a lot of people who won't humble themselves in church because they're afraid somebody will think they're less of a Christian because they admit that they're not all that. I'm just saying it, guys. I've seen it. Sometimes myself, I got to fight back the pride in my own heart. Amen. About people, well, what will people think if I just get honest about myself here and admit that I actually have a problem? Anybody beside myself ever have a problem? Okay, so we're in good company, right? If you need healing, if you need deliverance, trust God. God can do it. But you have to humble yourself. I've counseled people, I've talked to people, and I knew that they had demons. But if that person was unrepentant and unwilling to change their ways, I won't even deal with it. Because it can be worse for them. People think this is some kind of joke. But guys, the days we're coming into are going to require that you trust the Lord. You're going to have to trust the Lord. And that's not a bad thing. Because when we're in that place where we're really leaning on, trusting in the grace of God, then we're strong. And then we can be mighty in God, amen, and do exploits. I believe God wants to take us higher. He wants to take us further than we are right now. I don't want to be comfortable where I'm at. I want to continue to grow. How about you? So we have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I don't see, but I want to see. And you know, if you're faithful with what God gives you, what God has already revealed to you, if you're taking the baby steps of obedience, that's a good thing. Amen. Because God will say, okay, you've been a good steward over what I've showed you. You've obeyed me in that instruction. And now I can give to you more. God wants to destroy every every enemy that stands between you and your destiny, between you and your peace. No child of God should be tormented in their mind. Amen. If we're willing to humble ourselves and repent, amen, and get honest with God about our situation, humble yourself, and then God can lift you up then in honor. Israel's victory was dependent upon their faith and what God had promised, and that he would be with them, and that he would drive out their enemies before them. They had to know that. They had to know that greater was he that was in them than he that was in the world. Are you hearing me? It's the same thing true today. God wants you and I free from all spiritual bondage. So in turn, we can help others who are in bondage. How many know that God doesn't liberate you just so you can go to heaven, but so you can make a difference in your world? John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light. He who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Come into the light means coming into God's presence. How many would agree with me that we need God's presence? Because it's God's presence that will drive out your enemies. Hallelujah. So let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Amen. Repentance is the beginning point to enjoying God's presence. If you want to enjoy God's presence, you must repent of your sin. You must obey his instruction. It's admitting that we need him, his mercy, and that we can do nothing without him. How many know we serve a God who has unlimited power? Unlimited power. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Guys, we don't need another self-help book or CD. We simply need Jesus. Amen. When lives are changed, when the sick are healed, when those who are bound by devils are freed, when marriages and families are restored, when the gospel is preached by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. Here it is. Amen. Then we are experiencing the presence of the Lord. We need the river of God's presence flowing in our lives again. We need the river of God's presence flowing in our families again. Amen. In our homes, in our communities, in our schools, in our nation. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. It's the presence of God. It's the Holy Spirit that will just drive out your enemies. Amen. The enemy cannot stand against the Spirit of God. That's why we must be open. Amen. And yielded and submitted and welcoming the Holy Spirit into our lives. The Holy Spirit's not going to cohabitate with the devil. If you're desperate today, you're in need of God's presence, his mercy. If you're brokenhearted, if you're addicted, you're tormented in your mind, if you need direction or crushed and in need of liberty, call on the Lord. Surrender your life to Jesus while there's still time. Now, we can hear a message today and say, yes, I agree with that. But you know, James said very clearly, we must be doers of the word, right? And not hearers only. Otherwise, we're deceiving ourselves. God wants to liberate the captive. God wants to free every captive. God wants to break every chain of bondage that the enemy has put on people. God wants to save the lost. God wants to heal the sick. God wants to raise the dead. Amen. God wants to do many wonderful things, but he's waiting on his people, the ones that are called by his name, to humble themselves and pray and seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways. Are we willing to do that? That we may have the glory, we may have the presence, we may have the favor of God in our lives, in our homes, in our communities, and in our nation. How many know it begins with you and I as individuals taking responsibility for our own lives and say, Lord, I repent today. Has God spoken to you today? Is it time to recommit your life to the Lord? Maybe you've been away from the Lord. You've been out of fellowship. You're just not where you used to be, and you want to get back. You want to get right with God. Just humble yourself right now. Admit it to God. Be honest with God. And let the Lord know, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord God, that I have not obeyed you fully. Lord, I'm sorry even for my sins, Lord, and for my rebellion. And Lord, I'm sorry and I apologize for being prideful. Lord, and even I apologize for comparing myself to other people. Lord, I apologize for competing with other Christians. Lord, I apologize for watching things that I shouldn't be looking at, listening to things that I shouldn't be listening at, and talking about things I shouldn't be talking about. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for all my sins, Lord. Cleanse me. Wash me in your blood, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask you to restore me to life. Lord, I ask you to revive me again. Lord, I ask you to wake me up inside. Bring me back to my first love. Lord, I want to live for you. Lord, I know without you I can do nothing. Lord, I need your strength. And you are the strength of my life. And I know, Lord, that wherever you are, there's freedom. And Lord, I'm asking you to liberate me from all bondage to Satan. Lord, I'm asking you to break the chains of bondage. Even through my own rebellion, forgive me, Lord Jesus. Cleanse me, Lord Jesus, right now from all unrighteousness. Lord, forgive me for my apathy and my complacency and my carelessness, Lord. And forgive me, Lord, for my worldliness and for walking away, Lord God. I come to you, Jesus, and I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to restore me. I ask you to make me whole again. In Jesus' name.